Tanker program is making great progress. We're really honored to be able to provide this next generation capability to our United States Air Force customer. The program team has hit every single milestone to date on schedule. We've just moved into the preliminary design review phase as we're moving into detailed design, and we're headed towards building the first 17 tankers by 2018.
Now, when you say design, it's all on the inside, right? Because the airplane itself is an existing model that's been around for 30 years, right?
Yeah, it's actually a combination of a commercial aircraft with modifications to do the tanker mission. This will be done in line, production-wise, with the 767 commercial line in our Everett factory. So this is one of the innovations that we brought to the table, bringing the entire Boeing enterprise to the tanker competition so that we could have an integrated commercial defense offering, produce the airplane on the commercial airplane line, which reduces cost for our Air Force customer and ensures that we can deliver on schedule to our servicemen and women.
Now, you said some milestones were met. What are they?
We're in the engineering design phase, or what we call engineering and manufacturing development. So we've already completed the system requirements review, which defines the user requirements for the airplane. We've completed the system functional review, which in our system engineering language means the requirements have been translated into engineering documentation. And now we're moving into preliminary design review, which is the fundamental design of the airplane. That will be followed by the detailed or critical design review and then ultimately flight test.
Now, what does this new plane have to do besides be new that the old ones that are pretty long in tooth can't do?
Yeah. Well, this airplane will provide multi-mission capability for our Air Force customers. So it has the fundamental tanking mission. It will provide a significantly greater fuel offload capacity than the current generation tankers. In addition to that, it will be able to handle cargo and other military transport roles, including personnel transport. So it's really a multi-mission aircraft. It'll provide greater capability at lower cost, and perhaps even most importantly, the support costs, the post-production operating costs, will be lower and will leverage the commercial production lines and commercial support efforts.
So in many ways, it's like the original tanker, which was a 707, if I recall.
Yeah, the KC-135 was based on the 707 airframe. This new airplane, the KC-46, is based on the 767 airframe. So it leverages our commercial technology, brings the latest technology like the 787 cockpit into the tanker fleet, and is really what we like to call a one Boeing effort, where we've brought together the best of our commercial and defense units and really approached this as an integrated Boeing enterprise. And I think that was the difference and, frankly, is really a key part of our partnership with the Air Force.
Now, the Air Force and maybe the other services also are getting to use more drones as time goes on. Is that a new requirement to be able to land a boom onto something where there's no pilot inside?
Yeah, one of the future requirements that's being evaluated is the ability to refuel unmanned aircraft. And so part of the tanker design is to design in growth provisions and the capability that over time you can add technology, add new missions, and do it in a very affordable manner. And that is one of the capabilities that we've designed into the basic architecture of the airplane.
And so nothing's built yet, in other words. There's no, you're in design review and looking at engineering drawings at this point, but nothing's been fabricated?
Yeah, that's correct. We're in the midst of doing the detailed engineering design, the structural design. We're in the midst of doing wind tunnel testing to refine the various refueling systems and finalize the configuration. That will all lead ultimately to building a first flight article and getting into flight test within a couple of years, and then again building the first 17 aircraft over the near term.
And while we have you, of course, the defense budgets are under a lot of pressure, and now there's the sequestration threat that keeps coming up and going down and coming back again. What is Boeing doing with respect to as what you see as the outlook for military spending?
Well, this is certainly a very challenging defense budget environment in the U.S., and we've been paying close attention to the budget deliberations. I will say that the current situation is not a surprise to us. It's something we've anticipated and prepared for. And so we've been taking firm actions over the last couple of years to reduce our cost structure and drive affordability for our customers. That's been a key part of our strategy and will continue to be so. We'll also continue to look for ways to extend our core product lines, to move into new adjacent markets like unmanned systems and cyber, and also to expand our international business to help offset some of the domestic budget pressure.
And so if sequestration were to happen, in theory, $500 billion out of defense over 10 years, that already you could feel. That would be 10% or so of the base budget each year for the next 10 years. What should contractors be doing beyond that?
Well, as you know, we already are set with a budget baseline that takes about $490 billion out of the defense budget over the next 10 years. So sequestration would be an additional $500 billion. We believe that would have a devastating impact to the defense industry and, frankly, to our services, and is not something that we think would be good for the country. So we're hopeful that a budget resolution will come to pass that will avoid sequestration. We think that's important for the country. We think it's important for the industrial base. That said, we need to be prepared for that from a risk management standpoint. And the way industry is dealing with that and actions that Boeing is taking specifically is to reduce our cost structure and continue to drive affordability and productivity into everything we're doing to help manage our risk going forward.
Now, the DOD officials themselves have been talking a lot lately about the Defense Industrial Base, the DIB. And the other day, the White House came out with a statement saying that we have to make sure the DIB is strong. What do you make of that? All of a sudden, at this point, of all people, the White House saying we got to worry about the Defense Industrial Base.
Well, it's pretty clear that the Defense Industrial Base is a national asset, and working hand-in-hand in partnership with our service customers, it's an important part of America, and it's part of what's helped our country be great. It's part of what's allowed economic development. It's part of what helps ensure freedom for our country and our allies around the world, and that industrial base capacity is something that is perishable, and it's something that requires investment and something that we have to be thoughtful about and strategic about as we think about budget investments for the country. And I think what you're hearing from the administration is an understanding of the strategic importance of that industrial base and also the clear connection of the economic benefit and the jobs benefit of investing in the defense industrial base.